this morning. Brother Temp was talking about those notes and everything. It reminds me of a preacher that was preaching one time in the old country church, and the wind came by and blew his notes out the window, and there was a cow out there, and the cow ate up the notes, and the cow went dry. Now figure that out. So you'll have to think about that a little bit. But anyway, all righty, good to see you. By the way, we have another great-grandchild born this morning, just a while ago. In fact, I didn't know it. Somebody else had to tell me. You've told us about it because we hadn't been on Facebook. Some people stay on Facebook. They enjoy. So anyway, we've got a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter now, and we've got a great-grandson. And so that was Drake's and his wife's baby up in Indiana. So we're going to be gone about 3 weeks, and we'll be going to Virginia, and then finally some of the family there will go get to see the baby in Indiana. And then we're going to go see the Ark. Not the real Ark, but the Ark. You know what I'm talking about. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be gone about 4 weeks. Brother Gillick will be teaching this class during that time, I think, according to his schedule. So he'll be teaching the same lessons and doing the same thing. If you need a student manual, raise your hand. Anybody that did not get one last week, just raise your hand. You guys will get your, I believe, probably everybody has one. All right, except one right there. All right, that's good. Let's go to the book of Colossians just a second. We're going to review and finish up this lesson as we talk about fruit by the bushel. Christians ought to bear fruit, good fruit, the right kind of fruit, biblical fruit. There will be a lot of it. Fruit by the bushel is the series we're in. And last week we started the lesson on rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ for spiritual growth. We should be growing in the Lord at any point in our lives. Spiritual growth. And we're going to be continuing that study today, being rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I also wanted to mention this when we get started, while you find in your place, that the offering came in of $2,250 out of our class for the windows. And you remember our goal was $500. And so I called Brother Stewart and told him, and he said, well, great, that should take care of the rest of the windows and all of that, and that will help out there. So you did well. And we'll ask you again about a month, maybe not. But you did well, and I just want to brag on you out of this class. $2,250 came, and that will help them. That will complete getting all those windows. That will help out so when the storms come and the rain, it won't ruin the offices and all of that, and the student classrooms. All right. Now, Matthew, well, let's look at Colossians, first of all, just chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, just to be reminded. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And notice verse 7 in particular, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Think of a plant, a tree, rooted and built up in him, established, we would say, or established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. And so we're told that that's what we should do. And Paul writing to those believers at Colossae was reminding them of that. Matthew 13:6 says that when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So it's important for us to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gave you some different things that were important as far as reasons, five different reasons. These were not in your manual, but I just review them very quickly. We need to be rooted because of false teachers and false teaching. And then secondly, we need to be rooted because of our cultural drift from God. Look at our society today. And then we need to be rooted because of the pull of our own flesh. We still have to deal with our own flesh. And then we need to be rooted because of the uprooting of the family, the way the family is being attacked. Then we need to be rooted because the ancient landmarks are being removed. And that gets into the churches and Christianity. And so we have to be careful for all of that and be rooted, and those are some of the reasons. And then we talked about, in Roman numeral 1, the planting of spiritual roots, the planting of spiritual roots. And then we have to be planted in Christ. First of all, you got to get saved. And Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, and then be rooted in the Lord. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love. So, first of all, we've got to be planted in Christ. And then, next, we must pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to pursue Christ. I think that is found in our text in verse 6. So walk ye in him. Pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. We pursue this depth in Christ by choosing our own selves to walk in Christ, to be rooted in Christ. We do it also to be rooted in him from the choice that we make. Matthew 13:8, but other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. But the root is the important thing, that we are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where our nutrients are found, in Christ. And then we are to pursue the depth in Christ by being planted in the Word of God. So important to be planted in the Word of God. Now, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is a promise to those who meditate in the Word of God, who stay in the Word of God. He says, if you stay in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we have this promise of God. And this psalm was written to people who are familiar with a desert or a dry, arid land. But here's a people that he says will bear fruit. This tree is planted by the river of water, and so it's going to bear fruit. He's reminding us that our roots ought to be in the Word of God and in Christ, not in the world. So if we're not going to be rooted in the world, we need to be rooted in the Word. That will make the difference. How are we going to know what is worldly, what we should leave alone if we don't stay in the Word? The Word tells us what we should or should not do. So choosing, as we mentioned briefly last week, is the first step to become planted in the Word. We make up our mind, this is the right thing. I want to bear fruit, so I need to be planted in the Word of God, and I need to spend time in the Word of God. So here's some practical things along those lines. Number one, choose a time every day when you're going to spend time with God. I know you have daily activities. We all do. We all have a lot of daily activities, a lot of plans, but we need to plan that. Number two, choose a place to meet God. You don't always have to stay in that same place, but I have a place where I meet God of a morning, early in the morning, and it's a very special place to me. But sometimes I may want to go out on the patio and pray that morning. It's a nice, cool morning, and just look at the elements and the flowers and hear the birds and praise God. But most of the time I have that one place where I'm going to meet God. And everybody should have that place. Number three, choose a plan. Choose a plan to stay in the Word of God. I'm so glad our pastor has given us a plan. And my wife and I are enjoying that so much. We sit down and we read through Jeremiah and then John right now. And we go over those verses, and we have about 8 or 9 questions that we go over about to whom is it written and who is he speaking to and what can I pray about and what sin do I need to confess and what is the Lord saying to them, what's the key verse. Just right quickly go over those, and I'm just jotting down some of those notes and manuals we're keeping. We love that, and it just draws us closer to the Word of God, and we're still learning some of it. Well, I didn't realize that. And Carol will say, you know, I didn't see that before either. There it is. And we need to get on the ball with that one, you know, that type thing. Or we're doing this. 17:11, these, talking about the Berean Christians, if I were to ever start a church, I would think I would name it Berean Baptist Church. I like that name. I had a friend that did that. But these, the Berean Christians, were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures, how often? Daily, whether these things were so. They were more noble in that church because they searched the scriptures daily. And that was part of it, to see whether these things were true or not. And that's why they were more noble. And then fourthly, choose to be spiritually disciplined. Choose to be spiritually disciplined. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And exercise denotes consistency. My wife and I haven't been too consistent in that lately, because I've had some treatments and those kind of things that we sort of got out of it. But believe you me, we can tell it. And we're talking about it. We need to get back into that. But consistency in the word, consistency. So, Roman numeral 1, the planting of the spiritual roots. Number 2, the prevention of spiritual roots. What hurts them? What prevents our producing these things? Colossians 2:8 again says, beware. That's a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through, how are they going to spoil us? Philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. The word rudiments there means the arrangement or the propositions of the world, the rudiments, how the world looks at things. The rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware. Watch out. Is what he's saying. You understand that Satan is trying to cut you off from growing in the Lord and producing fruit? He wants to stop you from producing fruit. Doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been saved. He wants to stop us from that and cut off our sweet relationship with the Lord. And he'll do anything to prevent you from going deeper in this book. He hates it when we stay in the book. He hates it when we go deeper in the Word of God. And so it is with the roots of things you plant. The larva will get in those roots and eat those roots. Sometimes it's ground squirrels, that type thing. They'll dig down in the ground and go in and they'll mess up the roots. And so that's what he's telling us. Watch out. Satan wants to do the very same thing. And so he says, beware of those things. A, in the outline, the culture of this world is an enemy. The culture of this world is an enemy. You see, culture, our culture, accepts things as normal to man. Whatever man thinks is okay, you're okay, I'm okay, all of these things. And back in the time when he's writing to them, mysticism and also Gnosticism were very popular. Basically, these are just mysticism, Gnosticism were saying something like, there may not be a God, but we're studying. We are Gnostics. We are deep into study of that type thing. And so that was their position. Well, he's writing about the culture of their world and the culture of our world today. And so we have it. So he's saying, watch out, be aware. Culture changes. Our country, since I was a little fella, has gotten so far away from God in comparison to what it used to be, it's almost like day and night. Culture changes, 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 because we are honoring and worshiping man more than God. And so he's warning us, be careful about these things. Watch out for these enemies. And then he's telling us, beware is a key word here. Alert to those changes. Secondly, we're to beware lest any man, he says, spoil us. Lest any man spoil us. How can a man spoil us? Spoil means literally carry us away. Carry you away. In other words, from your love to the Lord and your loyalty to the Lord, he will spoil you, carry you away from that. So he's warning us in verse 8, lest any man spoil you, pull you away from the Lord. And then we are to beware of the constant possibility of being spoiled through two things, philosophy and vain deceit. Two things he mentions here, philosophy and vain deceit. The word philosophy comes from two words, philos, love, and sophistry, knowledge, loving knowledge. And so he's saying there are so many people who are philosophical and they are intellectual and they claim to have knowledge and all, and yet it's humanism without God's what it really is. And so what they do is change the truth into a lie. They make it sound very plausible, and they change truth into a lie. And so he says that in Romans 1:25, who change the truth of God into a lie. They twist it, change it, turn it, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We're worshiping the creature now. We worship self. Humanism is a religion, by the way. We worship animals. The culture does. We worship trees. All of the, on and on. We could go a long time on that, but we won't. But we have to watch out for philosophy and vain deceit. It's everywhere, especially in the institutions of higher learning. Then number four, we're to beware of being spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. The traditions of men and the rudiments of the world. Now, some traditions are good if they're based on the Word of God. We have some traditions at work, and they're good. They're based on the Bible. They're based on the Word of God. But there are a lot of those things that are not rooted in the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul writing chapter 3, verse 6, he's writing to the believers there. And here's what he said to them. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. When a person in a church just totally does away with the traditions of the church based on the Word of God, he says, don't have fellowship with them. Just break fellowship with them. That's what the Bible is saying. Point them out. So Paul's traditions that he delivered to the church were based upon what God said. And, of course, he wrote a lot of what God said. These are the traditions we have today. So what the world wants us to do, accept unbiblical false traditions. And, boy, are they after our hide today. I mean, there are occasions now where there has been, at least according to some information I just read, a preacher who was just standing on the street corner preaching from Romans and talking about the fact that homosexuality is not right and those kind of things, and he was arrested for doing that. We're going to see more of that. It's going to come unless we have a revival. But he says, don't give in to the traditions, these false traditions. And then fifthly, and he says, and not after Christ. In other words, we make a choice. The world's traditions are Christ, and the world's traditions, you'll discover, opposite of Christ and what our traditions are based on the Word of God. So, then B, there, the crowd of the ungodly is an enemy. The culture is an enemy. The crowd of the ungodly is an enemy. Back in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a cultural drift where we begin to walk in their countenance. We begin to tolerate. It's socially acceptable. The social media brainwashes people to that and pulls us away from God. And sometimes, if you're not careful, friends and family will do that to you too. You've got to take a stand. They may go that way. They may take the philosophy of the world, but you have to take a stand. We have to take a stand and base that on what we know is the Word of God and not let them pull us away and do that. So, they'll do it if they can. There are people that draw you away from God and the church as quickly as they possibly can. And then what happens is the nearer we are to God, we do what God says. We listen to what God says. Here's what's going to happen to us. The more we stay in the Word of God, the more sensitive we're going to be. something. You know, when we stay in the Word of God, we're reading what God says and how we ought to act, then we are more sensitive to sin. That's why you need preaching. That's why you need Bible reading and studying the Word of God together. And we therefore recognize the wrong influences, and we face resistance, and we grow. We stay away from all of those elements of the culture. Then thirdly, we have to hurry on this one, the product of spiritual roots. The planting of spiritual roots, and then the prevention of spiritual roots. But there is a product from really being rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of spiritual roots. Fruit comes from the roots. It may be pine cones, it may be apples, it may be oranges or whatever, but you got to have the right roots to produce the right fruit. And so what is the product of the roots? Well, we are planted, remember, we are planted in what person? Christ. We're planted in Christ. And so, we will produce spiritual fruit. We will produce spiritual fruit. If we're planted in Christ, we will produce spiritual fruit. If we don't have spiritual proof or fruit in our lives, then something's wrong. There's a root problem, a sickness. Something's got in there and messed us up, and we're not producing that fruit. So we try to change our behavior sometimes. We manufacture some way of doing that by our own power, but we need to be asked the question, what's going on beneath the soil in my life? What's going on beneath the soil in my life? Are my roots really grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I really sufficiently seeking nourishment from the Lord? So the fruit reveals what's going on with the root. Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We like to prosper, wouldn't we, in spiritual areas. So spiritual fruit develops in its season if it is planted by the H2O, the water of life, I think the Word of God, and that fruit is something people can look at and see, oh, look at that. They're different. Look what they, how they act, how they react, what they say. They see that fruit in our lives, and they observe it, and they want it. They notice we're different, and they want that fruit. So a lot of times we see large, huge trees. I haven't been out there in California to see some of those trees you can drive a car through, but I guarantee you they have some deep, deep roots. They have to have. And so you see the results of that. Well, God wants that from us. He wants us to be so big in our fruit bearing, so to speak, that others see Christ in us. So people see fruit. They want to know how we have such fruit, and we're able to say, well, it's because I'm saved. It's because of Jesus. And then B, we will produce consistent fruit. Consistent fruit. Psalm 1:4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The wind drives away the ungodly. But those who are godly, the fruit stays. When I was in India, and when we were out one day, visiting way out in the country, there were some kids and families out there, and they had to look like a sheep, and they were just throwing that stuff up in the air, and they were winnowing their wheat. They were still doing it the old-fashioned way, and the wind was blowing, and it would blow across that, and the chaff would go to the side. But God it wants us to be consistent. Can I say this? We have too many chaff Christians. We need to be consistent in all of these things. And he said the ungodly are like the chaff that is blown away. So keep in mind this as we close out. Fruit is not automatic. It is not automatic. Fruit comes from being rooted in Christ. That's where it starts. Starts with salvation. It continues as we choose to pursue Christ, which means a lot of time in Bible reading and prayer. And as a result, our roots go deeper and deeper as we pursue. And then we have results that bring honor and glory to God. So we'll be looking at Brother Jill. in Christ has been rooted in Him, staying in the Word, getting rid of all those worldly diseases and all those things. So we are strong Christians who reflect Christ, and others want that fruit, producing fruit by the bushels. Father, thank you for your Word and what it means to us. And help us to be fruit bearers in the right way to bring glory to Thee in Christ's name. Amen.